Tonight's scripture comes from John chapter 1, verse 14. And John the writer says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the one through whom and for whom all things exist, became a human being. He identified with us in our brokenness. He lived the life that we were created to live but failed to live. He died on a cross in our place for our sins, and then You raised Him victoriously from the dead, and we know that He is now ruling and reigning over all things, and so we gather tonight to celebrate Him. We thank You for the light that You sent into this world, and I pray that as we consider and gaze upon that light tonight, that You would help us to see clearly. We pray that by Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, well, good evening again. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful that you're with us. We want to just take a moment and consider Jesus. We want to look to Christ, think on Him as we prepare our minds and our hearts for His coming, for the birth of Christ tomorrow morning. Author Scott Soles says that there are 1.5 million books on religion and spirituality in the market today. Identifies is that clearly indicates a sort of restlessness within each of us. Whether you're religious or irreligious, the observation is that there's this gnawing sense within us of uneasiness. Like we are constantly and deeply preoccupied in mind and heart. We are restless to the core, and it's just part of the human predicament. It's part of what it means to be human. It's not peculiar to those who profess faith in Jesus, and it's not peculiar to those who have yet to trust Christ. It is just part of what it means to be human. We know that sense of our minds and our hearts racing, constantly searching, restlessly to find some kind of peace in the inner life. We all know what that looks like. And so it's why Scott Soles points us to the lyric of U2 to kind of bring language to this common experience that we all have. He says, I believe in the kingdom come, then all the colors will bleed into one, but yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and You loosened the chains. You carried the cross of my shame. Oh, my shame. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That's a common experience that we can all relate to. I think that's why there's this enduring kind of quality to the Joshua Tree album from U2, is because there is something deeply human about the lyric that comes from that song. But the good news, like as I read that this past week, the good news of the Christmas story is not that we are left running and searching for God, but that God stepped into our reality looking for us. That we don't have to be left to our own devices to look and to search and to try to find God, but in fact, the good news of the gospel message about Jesus is that God came near. That's why Jesus is the Emmanuel, that is, God with us. I want to read again from John chapter 1, just to kind of bring these notions to light a little more clearly. Starting in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then the verse that Carson read, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." I love the way that author Eugene Peterson puts it in his paraphrase, The Message. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Like, that is the good news of the Christmas story, is that God came near. Like, the good news of the Christmas story is for people like you and me, people like us in our neighborhood, Jesus is the Emmanuel, the God with us. And I just want to make two observations, I think two implications of the notion that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The first thing that we can surmise from this is that God came close to show his care. God stepped into our reality to show his care. He's not distant. He's not aloof. He doesn't keep us at an arm's distance. But in fact, he came close. He lived among us. Like, he set up shop and lived. He didn't leave us to our own devices, searching and trying to find him. He is not distant. He is not removed from us. But in fact, he moved into the neighborhood, lived among us. And this is good news for God's people. Because what it says is that God came near. In your moment of need, God came near. Like in your time, your season, I know that this season of year brings with it a lot of difficulty and a lot of emotional strain and toil. Like I know many are walking through that even in this moment. And the good news of the story of Christmas is that God came near. That he came near to walk with us. And in fact, this is what's said of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4. Since we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The priest is one who would bring God to the people. Would bring God's care to his people. And it says that this is what Jesus did for us. God came near. He walked with us. So whatever your experience is in this moment, like wherever you find yourself, like what you can know to be certain, to be sure, to be true, is that the Christmas story reminds us, the Advent season, the coming of Jesus reminds us that God drew near. He drew near because he cares. He drew near to show us his care. But secondly, God drew near. He came close that he might rescue us. I mean, that's what John reminds us in verse 29 of chapter 1. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." See, God did not leave us to our own devices to try to search and find him, but instead he came and came near on a rescue mission to save us, to rescue us. And this is what's interesting. If God came near in Jesus, then it implies that there is a need for a response. Think of it this way. If you are in a gathering and in walks a world leader, you know, someone of high position and authority, well-respected, a world leader walks into that gathering, there's an implicit call for a response. You don't slouch, you don't stand back, you change. Your entire disposition changes to that person. And rightly so, because of who they are and the position that they hold. Now, if it is indeed the fact that God came near in the person of Jesus, then don't you think that it implies and necessitates a response to Jesus? We can't stand back, distant and removed. We can't keep God at an arm's length. We can't think Jesus is merely a good teacher, a good example of the best possible way of life. But in fact, we have to respond to him as he is, stepping into our world, God come in the flesh, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And so how will you respond? How will you respond to the reality that God has come close because he cares and he's come close to rescue? How will you respond? Like he came close and that's a gift. Like we did nothing to earn it. We did nothing to deserve it. In fact, God would have been wholly just to turn his back on us. I mean, we wanted nothing to do with him, And yet he doesn't do that. He comes near, he draws close to show his care and to rescue us, but we must respond. We must respond to who he is, what he's saying, and what he's doing. And that's why at the beginning of Mark's gospel, he says it this way: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. There's this call to respond. Yes, Jesus is given to us as a gift. And that's what the story of Christmas reminds us of. The gift of Jesus, God come in the flesh. But that gift must be received. You must respond to Jesus. So how will you respond? Will you receive the gift of God's presence this Christmas? Or will you stand with an arm's distance to him? And so every time we gather in corporate worship, most every time we gather in corporate worship, we do so ending by remembering the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus in what's called the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is this reminder that God came near. And the very means by which Jesus rescues us is his vicarious life and death and resurrection. That means his life was lived in your place. It was vicarious. It was lived in your place. His death was died in your place. And then he rose from the dead, demonstrating that he is who he claims, that he indeed has conquered Satan, sin, and death, and that we can have a relationship with the Father because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so if you've given your life to Jesus, then this is an opportunity to remind yourself that the death of Christ is the very means by which he has rescued us. Say it differently, without the death of Jesus, there is no rescue for humanity. And so God comes near. He comes near to show us his care. He comes near to rescue us, and he does that through his death. And so if you know Jesus, and we want to invite you, even if you're not a part of this local church, we want to invite you to come forward and to take a piece of the bread and to dip it in the cup and eat. And as you eat, you remember that Jesus gave his life that we could be rescued. But as you do that, would you remember his care for you? Like, God did not stand at a distance. He wasn't aloof, but he came near. And not only did he come near, but he stepped into our reality and he did something about it. That the cross is the reminder that one day he will restore everything. And so Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God came near. He came near to show us his care. He came near to rescue us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've said and done through Jesus. Lord, might we be reminded in this Christmas season that you did indeed draw near, that you came near to us in Jesus. You came near so that you could show us your care. You came near that you might rescue us. And so we're grateful and we're thankful for Jesus. And so in these moments, would you just help our mind's eye to be drawn to Jesus. Might our attention be focused on him. Like for the next few moments, Lord, would you just wash away all the other thoughts and all the other preoccupation from our minds and our hearts. There's a lot happening later tonight. There's a lot happening tomorrow and in the days to come. But might those melt away in these moments that we could focus on Jesus, center our hearts and our minds on him. We thank you and we pray this by Jesus' name. Amen.